I have to say that against what some people think, I believe that God still loves the world and that he still has a purpose and a destiny that he's working out, and that nothing is out of hand as far as he is concerned. They're in his hands, and we're believing that through these times, troubling times, and as you were speaking this morning, I just felt a word come to my mind, maybe for the church, I don't know, weigh it and see what you think. I believe that there are churches that now are finding there's a sorting going on, and that there is going to be a remnant of people that will say, no matter what, we're going to serve Jesus. No matter what, we're going to follow in his ways. And that group of people will be a tight-knit group of people that will say, we're going to re-pioneer this church. And that's the word I got while I was sitting there. Re-pioneer the church. Start as if you were starting new. And realize that there are a lot of people out there who want to know answers to questions that they're almost too afraid to ask. There are people who are scared to death, not only by what's going on with the pandemic, but the way the world is going and the way the whole of America especially, but I tell you, it's worldwide, it is that it's causing questions in people's minds. And I believe that there's a harvest going to be reaped, and it's with churches that say, we're going to break molds, we're going to be who God wants us to be, and we're going to re-pioneer this church to meet the generation of people that are seeking out there. I just felt that word as I was sitting there this morning. Now, it's evident, and it would be even in this room, that we are living in troubling times. And I believe the Lord has given me a word to share with you this morning to encourage you, but also to challenge you to keep moving forward and to keep believing that God is with you. I was in prayer for you this morning at around 6 a.m., And I felt the presence of the Lord, and I felt him say to me, before you speak, get into your word, I want you to pray down my presence. How many are ready for the presence of God here this morning? Amen. And as you open your hearts to him, he's going to come to you. This word may not be for anyone else, but it may be for you. And so I want us to just position ourselves ready to hear from God. Let's pray together. Those who feel you can, just raise your hands to God in an openness of receiving. And we say right now, Holy Spirit, fill this temple, fill this house of your people. Let your presence come. And now, Lord, will you do your work amongst us? It's not by my might or by my power, it's by your Spirit. And I pray, Holy Spirit, fill this room right now. Cause the atmosphere, as we've heard, Lord, change by the power of your presence. Cause hearts that are hard to be melted in your presence. Cause eyes to be opened to your presence. We pray, Lord, that our eyes and our minds that may go in a million directions will now be directed towards you. Holy Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to take you to a scripture that I don't think many preachers would take you to. It's found in the book of Leviticus, of all books, the book of Leviticus. Now, in case you think I enjoy reading that book, I'll let you know I don't enjoy reading that book. And I was reading it one day, and I read this verse. And as I read it, I felt the Lord say to me, read it again and read it slowly. How many know you can read the scriptures and you can often be reading but not reading? Do you know what I mean? You're reading but you're skipping verses as you go just to get to. Well, of course, I'm the only one that's like that here. Sorry. But he said, I want you to read it slowly. Yeah. And I did that again and again and again, and it just gripped my heart. Leviticus chapter 21, and I'm reading verse 10. And as you are looking there or seeing it, let me take this moment to welcome those who are watching online and this first time of streaming. What a great opportunity that is to reach people and to bless people who can't get out. So we welcome you and greet you this morning to this fantastic church. And if you're watching online thinking of attending a great church in the Peru area, I want to tell you this is the place to be, and that you would have a great welcome. So here's what Leviticus 21:10 says. He who is a high priest among his brethren, on whose head the anointing oil was poured, and who is consecrated to wear the garments, shall not uncover his head nor tear his clothes. Now you understand why that was an unusual verse, and why I had to ask Holy Spirit, why are you making me read this? Why am I having to read this? And I read it over and over and over, because as I said, these are one of the verses that you would skim past. Because it seems to mean nothing to us. It means nothing to us. It may have meant something back then, but to us it seems to mean nothing. But when you realize that throughout the scriptures, the Jews were often going through troubling times. Throughout the scriptures, they were in times of grief and heartbreaking moments. When you realize that the Jews were going through terrible hardship and pain at times in their existence, and they were in such a place of pain and such a place of trouble and such a place of agony that they would just tear their garments. They would just pull their outer garments and tear their garments, because they were overwhelmed with what they were going through because of the world of pain that they were in. It signaled to the world around them about the grief that they were going through. It signaled to the world around them that what they were bearing was too heavy to bear, that it was that sorrow was too hard to even express, desperation beyond the point of being able to talk about it was now gripping them, and they would literally fall to their knees and tear open their garments. It was a sign of what they were going through. It would be a time of desperation for them. It was the telltale sign that was very common in their day, that when trouble or tragedy would come, they would now break or tear their clothes. It was a sign, if you will, of whether a woman or man was going through stuff now that was greater than they could bear. It was a sign of the tearing of the garment that represented a circumstance that they were in that they had no answer for. The tearing of the garment would be a sign to the world around them that the problem was too heavy, was too great for them to work out, and they were in a place where there seemed to be no solution to what they were going through. It was that they were in a moment when they were in a time of tragedy that couldn't be reversed. The thing had happened, and it was so bad, nothing could change what had happened, and they would tear their garments. It was a sign of something that couldn't be fixed. It was a sign that they had relational problems and difficulties, maybe in marriages and finance, that now couldn't be fixed. It had gone too far, and it couldn't be fixed, and they would be in this place of tearing their garments. Back then, it was a universal expression made by someone who was feeling completely overwhelmed. They tore their clothes in desperation. As you read your Bibles, you will come across this many times. For instance, in the book of Job, we read of this man getting news that all his 10 children had died in a freakish storm that had come. 10 of his children had been taken. And look what it says in Job chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. Then Job arose, he tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was an amazing statement of faith. It was an amazing statement of trust, but it didn't alter the fact that he was in this overwhelming place and he tore his garments in his grief and in his despair, he tore open his garments. The story of the children of Israel crossing over into the promised land, that time when they were preparing to go into the promised land. And you remember that Moses agreed to spies being sent out and to spy out the land that they were going into. And they wanted to know what they were going to face before they got there. Well, the story is that 12 men went and 10 came back with a good report, a bad report, I should say. 2 came back with a good report. Joshua and Caleb, they came back saying, we can do this. They said, it's true what they're telling you about that land. It's true that there are bad things there. There are giants there. And all that has been said is true, but we can do this. But look what it says in Numbers 14, 6 to 8. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephthah, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. They were so sad, they were so desperate that they would go into the land that was before them. They knew their God and they knew that the land could be taken, but they also knew the 10 would be listened to over the 2. And the fact was that in their desperation to show the people how desperate they were for them to go in and possess the land, they tore their garments again. The circumstance brought them to a place of feeling overwhelmed, that they were not moving into the will of God as God wanted them to do, and they tore their clothes. Now, this verse in Leviticus that we have read together, it tells us of people who should not tear their garments. It tells us of people who should never tear their clothes in desperation. It tells us of people who should never get to such an overwhelmed place that they tear their clothes. Listen to what it says again. Let me read it again to you. Leviticus 21:10. He who is the high priest among his brethren, on whose head the anointing oil was poured, and who is consecrated to wear the garments, shall not uncover his head nor tear his clothes. So the high priest was told, you cannot tear your garments. Never mind what you are facing, never mind what's coming against you, never mind what's going on, you do not do what other people do, you don't tear your garments. He said, you are carrying an anointing from God. You have been anointed with the precious oil. And the fact is that you have divine help to get through your problems. You have divine help to get past your troubles and your circumstances and your problems. Everyone else had permission to tear their garments, to deal with their issues and to express their grief, but not the priests, not the chosen ones of God, not those who had been called by God, not the anointed priests. See, these priests, they had privileges that other people didn't have. The privileges that they had were, for instance, that they could go into the tabernacle, the place of the presence of God. They could go behind the heavy curtain that was in front of what was known as the Holy of the Holies, the place where the presence of God dwelt. They could go in there, admittedly only once a year, but they could go in there. And the fact was that they were allowed into that place where no one else could go. Only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. He had permission to go right into the presence of God. Right into the place where God dwells. They also had the holy anointing oil poured upon them, which of course is a sign of the Holy Spirit. And the fact is that they would have divine help to get through all that life would throw against them. They were privileged by the fact that they were the high priests. Now, the Lord dropped into my heart, and to be honest, I probably knew this anyway, but there would be people here today that are experiencing the stuff of life. That it is that you are facing situations and circumstances that maybe someone on the other side of the room knows nothing about, but God wants you to know He knows. The fact is that you are facing, some of you, the greatest grief that you've ever felt. You're facing stuff that comes against you. But I have to tell you this morning that we all experience suffering, pain, and sorrow. But listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, the Bible says that you are a priest. Turn to the one next to you and say, "Did you know I was a priest?" Just tell them that. Did you know that? And let me just say this. I'll throw this in at no extra charge. If you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, I wouldn't want to be alive today and not be a follower of Jesus. I wouldn't want to be alive today. I wouldn't want to be alive today and not know that my faith was in the one who died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead for me. Is alive and alive forevermore, and He's coming back one day. And if He doesn't, I'm getting older now, and I've got less years left than behind. But the fact is this. I've told my wife, when I'm dead, I don't mind what you do with my body. Feed it to the cows if you want to. But I want you to know that I'm going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. And nothing's going to change that. If you don't know that, I am desperately sorry for you. And this morning I urge you with all my heart to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Ask Him to forgive your past, go with you into the future, and I know He will be with you. But listen, to the rest of you who are priests, and if you didn't know it, if you didn't know that you were priests, turn to the one next to you and say, "I didn't know that. Did you know that?" Listen to what Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says. To Him who loved us, and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And we all said, Amen. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Oh, you're going to walk out of here with your head raised today, aren't you? You're going to say, "I didn't know before I went in there, but you know I'm part of the royal priesthood." And none other than John King told me that. Actually, the Word told you that. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. See, as Christians, we have privileges that any here today who don't know Jesus and any outside of this room that don't know Jesus, they never experience, they don't have. Did you know that the followers of Jesus have access to the very presence of God? We have access to come into the very presence of God. Not only that, the followers of Jesus have this wonderful promise that is available to us. We have access to Holy Spirit anointing. That it is that we don't have to walk in our own might and our own power, but we can rely on the anointing of Holy Spirit that now gives us supernatural help and causes us to keep going forward. We of all people, and hear me right, I realize the times that we're in. And you know, I've had on my mind to, I'm adding this to my notes. You're not going to see this in my notes, all right? So as you're following along to put the scriptures on, I'll tell you when I'm back, all right? I'm just going to share this. You know, when I was about, I think I was about 38, 39, I had a major mental breakdown. I was overworking. I had a big church in the UK, and I was on this committee, and I was on that committee, and then they voted me onto the National Youth Council of Assemblies of God in the UK. And as the vote was counted, and they announced that I had got the vote, I heard God speak to me, and God said, "You're on your own in this, King." How many know you don't want to hear that from God when you've just been voted on? Well, I was in a little bit of an ego thing and a pride thing, I suppose, but I took on this job. I was in it 6 months, and one day I got home. I was totally overwhelmed, really tired. And the phone went, and it was the secretary of the National Youth Council saying, "We're arranging this meeting for this date and this date and this time, and we'll expect you to be there." So I said, "Well, I won't be there." I said, "Actually, I want you to tell the committee that I'm resigning as of this moment." And I put the phone down, and you wouldn't think this of this little guy, but I kicked a bookcase to pieces. I ran into my kitchen and I crouched in the corner and I said, "Stop the world, I want to get off." So when I talk about being overwhelmed and when I talk about going through stuff, I know what I'm talking about. Now, you want to know the end of the story? I'll tell you later. All right, I'm back on notes now, right? So we should never be in the place of feeling we've got nowhere to run. We should never be in the place where we're in this overwhelmed state. The fact is that God is saying to you and to me, "You are my priests. Don't tear your garments. Don't let the world know that you are now in a place of being totally overwhelmed." Now listen, I'm not against counseling and I'm not against getting help. I'll come back to that later. But the fact is we can't allow ourselves to get to the place of feeling that now we've got nowhere to run and nowhere to go. He says, don't, by tearing your garments and being in a place of overwhelmed, absolutely lost, in that state, saying that now your problems is bigger than your God. That now your situation is bigger than God can handle. When you get to that place where you want to tear your garments, it is that you're saying, "God, not even you can help me. Not even you can get in here to help me." The fact is that priests have bad days. Now, how many priests are here? Can you raise your hand if you're a priest of God? All right, put your hands down. How many say, "I still have bad days"? Okay, more went up for the bad days. But the fact is that we still have bad days. We go through rough stuff. But you can walk right into the presence of God, and you can call on the anointing of God that will cause you to not magically be taken out of that situation and that problem and that difficulty, But you will never feel alone when you're walking with God. You will never go through a thing that He's not with you with. He says, come to me and I'll bless you with a fresh anointing, and I will lift you up in my arms of love. No, we're not exempt from troubles and problems and anxieties and stresses of life. Actually, in going back off point, back to my illustration, what happened to me was this. I was lying in bed one night. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was just lying there in the midst of this six-month hiatus of breakdown, where overnight they took my church and put it under other leadership. I was off the committees that I was on. I was on a load of committees in the town as well as the national committee. And all that stuff went overnight. And I'm lying in bed, and I'm weeping and weeping. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm weeping and weeping and weeping, sobbing before God as I lay there. And I just squeezed out the word, all I ever wanted to do was to serve you. And God spoke to me, and He said, I must be your only source and the only one you trust. I must be your all in all. And in that moment, I found out something that has helped me the rest of my life, and that is that I was relying on my work for my value. I was relying on my busyness as a sign that I'm this great man of God. I was relying on my fingers being on this, that, and the other to get my ego satisfied. And God says, when you came to me and you surrendered at the cross, all you had was me and you had nothing else. Without me, you were sunk. And He said, that's where I want you. I want you in the place where I am your only source and I am your only joy. I tell you that because I have to say this, that this cloud of depression that had come over me, I'll tell you another part of the story quickly, all right? You've only got one service, so what are you worried about? while I was coming out of this, I was beginning to come out of this, I went to a church where quite a famous preacher in the UK named David Pawson was speaking, and I loved this guy, and he was a friend. And I thought, I'll go and hear Dave speak. He'll encourage my heart. Well, when I got to the church, he was outside greeting people. And I walked up, and he said, John, how you doing? So I said, well, you know, I've been through, I overworked, Dave, and I took so much on, and I've had a mental breakdown. And he said, oh, you sinned. I said, no, Dave, no, I took this job on, and I was on this council, and I was trying to keep the church going. Oh, yeah, you sinned. I said, David, I did not sin. He said, John, put his arm around me. He said, you know, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you took more on than what Jesus gave you, you took too much on. Now you sin. Come in here and repent with me and you'll begin to get well. And I went in. And I began to get well. But I want to tell you this. That cloud of depression, which I believe for me, was an attack by the enemy, is always out there. And there are times where I feel it coming nearer and nearer and nearer, and I have to stand up and resist it in the name of Jesus. And I speak to it and I say, you had me once, you're not having me again. And I want to tell you, there's been times where it has come and hovered over my head. It's been that close. And I've had to stand in faith and push back the darkness. And I want to tell you, it's not easy. I'm not saying that we don't get overwhelmed. I'm not saying that we don't go through stuff. I'm not saying that. But we don't get to the place where we say, all that stuff is bigger than our God. And that now we are in the place that we are crushed. Remember the Apostle Paul speaking 2 Corinthians 4:8. He was very honest. He said, you know, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. And we don't tear our garments. No, he didn't say that, but I thought it sounded good there. All right. We don't tear our garments. He said, we're not exempt from the stuff that crushes people. We're not exempt from the stuff that perplexes people. We're not exempt from persecution even. And get ready, church. I believe the church of the future will know more persecution in America than we've ever known before. And we're not exempt from the stuff that strikes other people down. But we are the followers of Jesus. And we're not crushed, and we're not in despair, and we're not forsaken, and we're not destroyed. And we won't tear our garments. We won't give up. You know, there was one high priest. Are you still with me? Okay. There was one high priest who disobeyed this Levitical law. You'll find him in Matthew chapter 26 when Jesus was dragged before the high priest and he was accused of blasphemy because he clearly stated that he was God in the flesh. Look what happened. Matthew 26, 65 says, and the high priest tore his clothes. Wow. He disobeyed his own law. And now he was saying that what I'm facing here with Jesus is bigger than I can handle. And so he was actually blaspheming and he was accusing Jesus of that very thing. And he tore his garments. You remember that Jesus was sentenced to death, and remember when he was on the cross, it was that the soldiers were gambling for Jesus' cloak. And they knew something significant was happening here, something that would resound in history to come. And so the cloak would be worth something. And so one of them says, Let's barter for it. Let's cast lots for it. And let's have a piece each. We'll break it up and we'll have a piece each. But they said, no, let's keep it together and we'll just barter for it. And whoever gets the draw will take the whole cloak. This is what one of the soldiers said. Now the tunic was without seam. This is verse 23, 24, Matthew 19. Woven from top to bottom in one piece. They said among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to whose it shall be. I believe God was behind that decision. You're not going to tear my son's garments because it's not over. It's not done. Even if you take him to the cross and you nail him to the cross, even if you put a crown of thorns on his head and you nail his hands and feet, even if you put a spear into his heart, it will not be over, for my son will rise again. You will not tear his garments because he stands supreme and he will come through this. Hallelujah. What does this mean for us? Every situation that we face, the times when we're overwhelmed, every problem that you're going through that you don't fully understand, every pain and every sorrow and all that is going through, and you may this morning be right in the middle of it. Oh, I want to tell you that this God is with us. You may not know why this is happening. You may not know why you are going through what you're going through. But I want you to go from here trusting God that whatever you're going through, you're not going to tear your garments and you're going to believe for the glory of God to come out of this situation. And to believe that God is going to make a way where there is no way. So that you will say, I chose not to tear my garments in total despair. My God will bring me through this. I will trust him until I die or he comes back. I'm going to put my trust in the name of the Lord. Listen to what the book of Joel chapter 2 and verse 13 says. So tear your heart and not your garments. Oh yeah, tear your heart and not your garments. He says, don't get to the place. Don't get to the place where your situation, how do you say situation? Am I saying it right? Because it sounds very British when I say it, you know. It's like Isaiah, and you say, well, we did have English before you, but the thing is, don't get to the place where it is that situation you're going through, that difficulty that you're facing, that sorrow that you've gone through, that thing that's happening in your marriage, in your family, in your relationships at home, your kids, and all that's going on in the world. Don't let it get you the place that you tear your garments, says Joel, but tear your hearts before God. Let it drive you to your knees. Let it drive you into the arms of God. Let it drive you to the place where you break your heart before him and say, God, in you I trust. They may take it off our dollar bill, but they're not going to take it out of our hearts, friends. In you I trust. I put my faith in you. And I'm coming back to this place of hearing your soft voice speaking to me. Yeah. You know, I've gone through a lot in my lifetime. One of the sad things that we went through as a young couple was that our second child was in the womb 9 months and everything was looking good. And then just prior to birth, the sack of the womb broke and the baby literally drowned in the womb. And so my second born son would have not been named Adam. It was that he was born dead. And I remember getting to the hospital, the doctors pulling me aside, and I didn't know all this had gone on because my wife had gone for a regular checkup. And they took me in a room and they said, we're sorry to tell you, but your baby was born dead. I said, well, she never came here to have the baby. And lots of things came to light that we could have investigated. But my baby was dead. And I was completely overwhelmed. They took me into a room where my wife was, broken, sobbing. And then I don't know whether this was right or wrong, but they brought a little casket in. And there was my baby lying there, holding a rose. And I went home from the hospital. I had my three-year-old firstborn with me, Andrew. And I got home and I put him to bed. Letty had to stay in the hospital for weeks. And I put him to bed and I went in my bedroom and I fell on my face. And I was weeping and weeping again. And suddenly I heard of the words of an old hymn come into my mind. I'll just give you the first words. It said, speak, Lord, in thy stillness. While I wait on thee, hush, hush my heart to listen in expectancy. And I just lay there for hours. And I want to tell you, God's Holy Spirit filled that room. Oh, I want to tell you, it didn't take away the sorrow. But boy, it lifted me to know that I was in the hands of a mighty God. and that all things work together for good to them that love God. Oh, I could go on and on with stories how God came through for us in remarkable, miraculous ways. All right. You've got clocks here the devil's in, just like I have too. You know, the presence of God is so vital for you. How long have I been speaking, do you know? Am I all right? All right, I'm only going to be another 2 hours. I told you about that heavy curtain that the priest could only go behind once a year. And it was called the veil. It was so big and thick that they said if you wanted to tear it, you'd have to have two teams of horses, one each side, and pull. And even then, you'd have difficulty to tear it. Well, the fact is this. It was a formidable thing. But the day that Jesus died, that veil supernaturally split in two. The moment that Jesus died, the veil was broken in two. God tore it supernaturally to tell us that whereas it had been only the high priest could go into the very presence of God, now the presence of God was spilling out onto everyone. And everyone who put their faith in him and their trust in him, they can know the presence of God just spilling into their life and over their life and over every circumstance you'll ever go through. Hallelujah. They couldn't tear his garments, but he tore their veil. And the fact is this, God was saying, no longer only one man once a year is coming into my presence by the blood of my son. Anyone who is desperate, anyone who is lonely, anyone who is overwhelmed, anyone who is heartbroken, anyone who is in despair, anyone who is stricken by grief, they can now come right into my presence and know my holy anointing. Holy Spirit, you have filled this room and I praise you. When you're a follower of Jesus, you will never again have nowhere to run in your time of grief. When you're a follower of Jesus, you will never again have nowhere to run when you're going through the financial thing or the marriage thing. You will never again have nowhere to run when you're facing disappointment and tragedy. No, the fact is this. When he tore that from top to bottom, he said, devil, you can try your worst, but my people will never be on their own. And they will never lack for supernatural help to get them through the circumstances of life. Hallelujah. The scriptures tell us very clearly that we're going to face a lot of stuff. It says in Acts 14:22 that it is that we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. No, none of us are going to get to heaven or experience heaven on earth except through much, not little, much tribulation. I believe the American church are waking up to this now. We've had it pretty easy for a long time, but now we're going to need God's presence like never before. And we're going to have to trust him like never before. So that it will be that when you're going through stuff, you're not going to run to Jack Daniels anymore. It is when you're going through stuff, you're not going to shoot up something or take a pill. When you're going through stuff, you're not going to run to pornography on the internet for the relief of your problems. We don't tear our garments. And the fact is that we trust in God. Don't isolate yourself. Hey, listen, if you're going through stuff, the worst thing you can do is isolate yourself. The devil is looking for people who isolate themselves. It's like a lion that is going after some food. He will try to isolate the weak and those that are lame or those who are old. He would isolate them from the rest of the flock, the rest of the group, because he knew he could get them on his own. And the devil wants to isolate you. Don't let him do it. You can even watch online, and thank God you are, but don't let that be all your experience. You need to be in the house of God. You need to be with the people of God, and you need to experience the presence of God together. You need to ask people to pray for you and to read the word over you. One thing I did, I had people read the word of God over me when I was going through what I was going through. Scriptures like Isaiah 40, 30 to 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Hebrews 4:16, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. And we will receive his mercy and we will receive grace to help us when we need it most. Isaiah 41:9-10, I have chosen you and I have not cast you away. That's a word from God for somebody here. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Don't tear your garments. The prophet Isaiah, he had a glimpse of this. He had a glimpse of New Testament Christians who now know the veil has been rent and they can come into the presence of God. He said in 61 verse 10, Isaiah, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of his salvation, and he has covered me with a robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's me, but I feel the presence of God here right now. I feel that God wants to step in on a lot of situations here. This COVID thing has messed up a lot of stuff church-wise. And so I want to honor everyone who is concerned about that. But I want to pray for people this morning. And I want you to have courage. I tell you, we don't like to admit when what we're going through has seemed overwhelming. We don't like to admit that when we've been faced and we've been in the place of feeling, I can give up, I'm going through this, that, and the other. We don't like to admit that. But you know, I want you to step into the presence of God this morning. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar, but this is what I'm going to ask you to do. If God has spoke to you and you know it, don't be all proud. Don't try and say, what will they think if they see me standing there? Listen, if God has spoke to you this morning, you know you need to make a fresh commitment to the presence of God in your life. Will you stand right now if you're able? And I want to pray for you.